I sit alone in my four-cornered room staring at candles.
Who got it, man?
Real Radio Duke?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Repeat this here. At night, I can't sleep.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects. You are always suspects in the show, and we love when you participate. A lot of you sending tweets. I don't know, Barry, you're checking the text lines as well.
Yeah. But
we like to entertain as well as cover the sports aspect of both sports and non-sports stories. One fun thing we found last night. Oklahoma City's got a guy named Anthony Roberson that is known as a defensive specialist. In basketball terms, that means you can't shoot. He shot fairly well last year against the Rockets in the playoffs, which was a bit of a surprise, shall we say. But last night, he lined up a three. Chris Paul, let's just say, and I need you guys to listen closely when he lets this thing fly. Chris Paul really wasn't even doubting if that was going in or not.
Roberson for three.
Hell no, come here.
Not only did he hell no him, he dropped a come here. Like, hell no, come here.
Get three.
Hell
no, come here.
He was supposed to close out on the perimeter. He saw it was Roberson, and what you can't see in the audio is he basically waved him off when he said, oh, hell no. Like, that didn't even come close. That was fantastic. I think fans are just going to love Chris Paul.
Yeah?
Because he's just no nonsense.
That's funny.
He's still one hell of a player too, but he tells it like it is.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Fun.
So I found a perfect summary of the Harden rule, because we had a text going to the break where somebody asked about the Harden rule. And mm-hmm. if you follow Howard Beck on Twitter, here was Howard Beck, very succinct version of it. Short version of the Harden rule. If a player has not yet gathered the ball when contact occurs, it's a common foul, not a shooting foul. Also, if the refs determine the offensive player lunged into the defender or locked his arm to create contact, they could assess offensive foul. In other words, all the tricks that James Harden has been using, they don't like them.
It is the Harden rule.
It is.
We talked about this a few weeks back when the competition committee broke this thing out. And if you're not familiar with the terminology, but on the gather means as you pick up your dribble or get into the begin the shooting motion. And again, that term the referees use loosely too, because it's based on their interpretation. But Harden got away with it more than anybody, where if he saw you, to use the phrase I can't stand, but to use the Mark Jackson hand down, man down analogy, if your hand wasn't up in the air, if it was reaching out towards the offensive player, Harden just looked to get his arm underneath and then just flailed up some kind of crazy yep. motion for a shooting. And he went to the line a lot.
Yeah, and I said this when they first came out with the rule, and I stand by what I said then. I don't like it because he found a way to game the system based on the rules. So if you're going to create the Harden rule based off of these rules, now you're going to have what? Are you going to have the Isaiah Thomas rule for carrying? Are you going to have a travel rule for every other player in the NBA that takes way more steps than they're supposed to take? I mean, the refs don't call a lot of these things because it disrupts the flow of the game already. And, I mean, that's not the case, you know, with James Harden. Obviously, he's calling fouls, so there is no flow to the game, so to speak. But the point is, if you're going to start trying to say, well, we're going to, you know, you're using the rules and really bending them, not breaking them, but bending them to your advantage. Every player's doing that. Every layup that they take,
yes.
every time they dribble down the court.
Here's why I don't like it, right? Exactly what you just said. Here's someone that studied the rules and is knowledgeable enough and understands them enough that he is doing what he needs to do to take advantage of it. He's not breaking the rules. He's staying within the rules of the game, but he's benefiting from it. The same thing where I don't like them trying to make a rule to stop the hack of Shaq, to yep. stop the hack of Dwight or hack of DeAndre Jordan. These have been the rules for hundreds of years, and they've worked out well. Now, you're going to try and change the rules in the case of free throw shooters because they're not good enough to make them? No. Figure out a way to make them. But don't change the rules to try and make it easier for those players. that's on them.
Yeah, and that was that was kind of a part of the whole point. Is it's like you wouldn't change the rule for guys that can't make their free throws, but you're going to change this rule for guys that can't keep their hands down, essentially.
Right.
Because I don't like the fact that they're being selective with it.
The other thing that's going to be interesting is it's not just the one that kind of chaps everybody's ass, which is that top of the key, he's dribbling, and like I said, he waits for a player to reach, and then if he can make contact with that arm, he just throws up some wild shot. The one that's going to get a lot of people's goat is the one that they emphasized a few years ago, which was, if you remember, the regular season, his Euro step was deadly. No one could stop it. It only ended up in a three-point play, and he's so strong as well as agile. But in the playoffs, they stopped calling it, or they allowed more physicality. They wouldn't give him the and-ones. That's where this rule is going to take into account the fact that when he gathers, it's not when he makes that first cross to try and make the Euro step. It's when he starts bringing it to the basket. Whereas in the past, the referees started calling it. The minute he picked up the dribble and started making that first Euro crossover, they'd call it immediately and they'd give him free throws. Now they're not going to do that. And that's going to get a lot of Rockets fans hot under the collar.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. I mean, you're basically taking away the game of one of the best players in the NBA because you don't like the way that he exploited your rule book.
And you're right. You can go player by player and think, and each guy take one thing that they do that they do well because they exploit a rule and get away with it.
Oh, you Mike has a perfect one. You mean the Tim Hardaway carry? Oh, I mean his wonderful crossover.
Right.
Yeah. It was a carry almost every time he did it.
Yeah.
But they didn't mind that.
So that's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out because you know that the Rockets are going to be sending plenty of tapes and having plenty of beef with the league office if this thing starts to really get called and they crack down on it early in the season because that's been bread and butter for Harden.
Yeah, somebody said that's funny. When we talk about the Patriots doing the same thing, we call them cheaters and want to change the rules, but we don't hold Harden to the same criticism. It's not the same thing at all. It's not the same thing at all. No. Filming practices and stealing playbooks that's not the same thing as opposed to exploiting a formation or a motion or something that might be borderline but doesn't break the rule.
Yeah, I mean Jose's hobby of squeezing the air out of balls. I mean that's illegal. No. That's not something you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Josh Rapp, by the way, says just remember to wear a cup around CP3. That's not nice.
Right.
You know that story?
Yeah.
Several times.
Yeah.
The one at Wake Forest, he forgot ESPN had all the cameras on during the ACC tournament, and during an inbounds play, turned and punched Julius Hodge right in the grapes.
Yeah. I found a couple things. You want to talk football for a second?
Sure.
You good?
Yeah.
So I was looking at Pro Football Focus, and they have the race for the rookie of the year through week four. And I think it's pretty obvious who number one is, Kareem Hunt.
Yep.
It seems to be running away with it.
I see what you did there.
If I were to tell you, okay, where do you think Deshaun Watson would be on the list? Top 5, top 10, top 15, or top 20? What section would you put him in?
To me, and I mean, it depends on when this came out too, because Dalvin Cook obviously is now out for the year, but got off to just an unreal start. But I'm trying to think rookie to rookie. I would say based on his performance, especially in the last 2 weeks, I'd say top 5.
Okay. So this came out October 3rd.
Okay.
Dalvin Cook checked in at 8.
Wow.
Yeah. Fournette, if you're curious, is 5 on the list. 4, Chris Carson. 3, Marshawn Lattimore. 2, Tre'Davious White. So Deshaun Watson is not in the top 5. Deshaun Watson is dead last in their eyes. He didn't even make the top 10. They made a list of on the bubble that included Malik Hooker, Jamal Adams, Xavier Woods. And the very last, below TJ Watt, the very last name on the list of on the bubble rookie of the year candidates is Deshaun Watson, which I find to be hilarious because you look at he didn't start the first game, so I get that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
His second start was on short notice, and, you know, it was ugly. It wasn't a pretty game by any stretch of the imagination, but when you look what he's done in the last two games, how do you not at least have him in the upper part of the on the bubble guys? This dude is dead last at the most important position on the field. It makes no sense to me.
By the way, you know who the AFC Offensive Player of the Week is this week?
Huh, who?
That guy dead last on the list.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, Deshaun Watson, AFC Offensive Player of the Week, and you're going to put him dead last?
Yeah.
That's why their only bailout would have been if they did that list early in the year.
Right.
But man,
after the Bengals game or something like that, right. I could totally see him being dead right. last.
Now, but, where are you, by the way, on this? On is he already on the scene? Is he solidified?
Nope.
See, my thing that I've been telling people is Sunday night's big. National stage, a chance for the nation to either get to see that this kid has arrived, if he plays well again, or to see, hey, he's got all the talent in the world, but it's going to take a little bit more time.
I don't expect him to play well Sunday, and because that's a good Chiefs defense.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's for everything really you saw Chiefs in Tennessee's defense, it ain't the Chiefs.
And, I mean, you know, they're not going to get up on Tennessee, or excuse me, they're not going to get up on the Chiefs like they did on Tennessee, force Tennessee to have to throw the ball and... You know, this is a different Chiefs. This team, this might be the best team in the NFL right now in the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's, when we did the show Monday, you know, they always say, you know, it's usual suspects with Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. I really wanted them to change my name in the intro to cautiously optimistic because I think the future looks great, but it's two games. And I'm not ready to anoint this kid the best quarterback in Houston history or anything like that because he could go out and lay an egg tonight. He could go out and lay an egg, you know, for the next couple of games. Potential? Yeah. Bright future? Absolutely. Skill set? Yes. But I want to see it for more than a season. Never mind two games. Never mind a half a season. That's great if he has a great year. But there are plenty of quarterbacks that go out and have a great year and then never do anything after that. Look, and that's what I'm worried. That's what I want to see.
He's impressed the hell out of me in how quickly he has not only grasped the offense, but how quickly they have become more dynamic on offense. But again, the real next step in the process for me is Sunday night. Big time stage. Not that he's had the biggest stages known to a kid coming up with the two national championship games. I know there's no stage that's too big for him. But national stage against probably one of the better defenses in the entire league and a very balanced football team where you're not going to catch breaks because either Mariota pulled a hamstring or their offense isn't going to open it up and really, you know, make you work and make you have to score points. This is going to be a true test. This is what I really want to see. And this could be really a big, big sign of things to come sooner rather than later if he performs well. But I'm anxious to see it. I think it should be a fun game on Sunday night.
It's going to be interesting. It's also going to be interesting to see what this Texans defense can do against the likes of Hunt and Hill and Alex Smith, who is playing out of his mind.
And if he doesn't, if it is indeed a place mark where he's just holding it for... What, the kid from Texas Tech, Mahomes.
Yeah,
there's going to be plenty of teams, i.e. Jacksonville and others, that are going to come calling for Alex Smith because if he's not a game manager the way he's playing this year.
No, he's playing fantastic. I don't think if you're the Chiefs, though, you move him.
But they're talking
playing
about
the
it.
Way he's playing?
They're talking no about the way. Fact that as well as he's playing, that this is 1 year and they've got their guy for the next several years.
Somebody asked on the text line, what are the odds? So we got to know, guys. One, what are the odds, Texans versus Chiefs? Two, if the Texans' offense puts up 20 to 30 points and or beats the Chiefs, how do you see them finishing out the season with the current squad, like what record-wise? We'll do that at some point. Sure. We'll go through their record, but because I think it give us both a chance to look at it.
Yep.
But the odds, this can't be right, Joel. I'm going to have to go to Odds Shark, which is where I'll usually pull up odds on a game. Uh-huh. But I log on to ESPN. I go to their matchup thing and their pick center. The spread, they have the Chiefs favored by one.
What?
That cannot be right. Over under at 46.5, Chiefs minus one, money line minus 115, money line for the Texans minus 105.
Well, you talk about people drinking Kool-Aid. On a neutral field, that means that the Texans would be favored, right?
That doesn't seem right. Let me look this up. That cannot be. That's got to be wrong.
All right, we'll step away for a second. We'll look that up. We'll get some business taken care of. Jerry, we see you holding. We'll get to you as well. A good start to a great show. Don't go anywhere. Much more of the usual suspects in mere moments right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you guys about what's going on today in the city of Houston if you're a sports fan, and in particular, if you're a Dynamo fan. The Houston Dynamo are taking on Cruz Azul this Thursday, October the 5th, in the BBVA Compass Dynamo Charities Cup for 2017 at BBVA Compass Stadium. Stop by the following BBVA Compass branches today between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock all over the city of Houston to win a pair of tickets to this match. You can stop by the Sugarland location, the 290 at Rose Hill, Atascocita, Buffalo Speedway, Medical Center, Champions, Sterling Ridge, and Kingwood. That's today, October the 4th, between 3 and 5 p.m. for your chance to win tickets to the 2017 BBVA Compass Dynamo Charities Cup between the Dynamo and Cruz Azul. BBVA Compass, creating opportunities.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick's out, Jose's in. Weakest Twitter handle around, according to Barry, but you know what?
I just said dumbest.
Okay, dumbest Twitter handle, according to some. But Jose, we appreciate you filling in for Nick. Barry, Jose, and I are here.
Jose's my man. He knows that.
Yeah. He calls you Lammy.
Yeah. That stems back to a... What does that go back to? Was it Houston game day?
No, the Christmas edition of the Blitz.
Oh, that's right.
It was me, you, Shock, and Tyler.
And we were talking about nicknames. Because yeah. Shock has the last name of Lee Shock.
Right.
And so his nickname is Shock.
Right.
And I was like, I don't have a cool name where I can get a nickname like that. Like Laminack. Like, what people are going to call me Lammy. And now, ever since then, Jose has called me Lammy.
Yeah.
That's my nickname.
Barry Warner calls him Jose, can you see?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That was awful.
He also calls you Hose B instead of Jose.
Does he?
Yes, yeah. He does.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yep.
Yeah, the line, that was accurate.
That's crazy.
So I pull
to
up
me.
Odd Shark, which gives you the lines from pretty much all of the, you know, places that you can place a bet on it. Mm-hmm. So the line for Bovada hasn't started yet, but it says opening line was -3.5. So people started betting, taking that with the Texans, which I find to be crazy. But yeah, Caesars Palace, 1.5 favorite, Kansas City. Kansas City is obviously the favorite, so the points, but everywhere else, Bet Online, Fred's My Bookie is a point. A point. I just find that to be a little much. The Mirage,
now, I understand
the win,
the national point, stage, five national dimes, TV, a point. People, fans are going to be all jacked up, but man, I don't see that.
I'm sorry. The win and the Mirage have them as a point. My bookie has them as a point. Bet Now, five dimes, and Sport Bet have it even. Not even a point.
Pick 'em?
This is nuts, dude.
Wow.
I don't see it. I would love that to be the case, but I just don't see it. But the second part of that question that we got on the text line was, if they win tonight, how do you see them doing how do you see them doing the rest of the season? You just want to run through real quick and
Sure.
holler wins or
yep.
losses?
Yep. Browns.
Win.
Win.
Yeah. Seattle.
Loss.
Now, on the road.
At Seattle is a tough place to play.
Yep. Indy at home.
Win.
I think so, too. L.A. on the road, the Rams.
A lot tougher game than you may think, and I would say a loss.
But if they can beat the Chiefs. And they can give the Patriots all they can handle. And they beat a Titans team that's a damn good team, I still think. That's a good football team.
Defensively, too, yeah.
I think they could beat the Rams on the road. If they can beat those teams and almost beat the Patriots.
Goff can beat you. Goff can beat his own team as well as he can beat you. He's looked better.
Yeah.
But, you know, the big thing is Sammy Watkins and Todd Gurley. Gurley looks like he's back to his rookie
year. If they get blown out by KC, then I think you have an idea of what this team is. But if they go out and beat KC... I still think you have an idea of what this team is capable of. So you have to keep that in mind as you start to get to some of those teams that are not in that upper echelon. And I don't think the Rams are necessarily in the upper echelon of teams. They're a good team. They're a good football team. I mean, you know, Wade Phillips
makes them a
hell of a job.
Because
he
already
does it everywhere he goes.
Yeah, and we knew that we know what Wade can bring. We know that their front seven can bring. But when you bring Wade with that front seven and some guys that can cover in the secondary, he'll keep you in a ball game.
Yeah, and there was some weird statistic about how good he is and how many teams make the playoffs his first year as their defensive coordinator. So it's not going to surprise me if the Rams do, and it shouldn't surprise anyone. because that's how Wade Phillips rolls.
The biggest thing that the whole season was riding on, obviously, Todd Gurley's health, but more so than anything else, Jared Goff. If Jared Goff looked like this big flop bust already that people were labeling him,
yep,
they were going to have problems. But because he's kept them in games and Gurley's gone nuts, their receivers have made plays. Hey, that's a team that's right there in that division. So that's big.
All right, so we're in agreement here. So we've got...
Win on Browns, lose on Seahawks.
Yep.
Win on Colts.
Yep.
I say lose at Rams, you say win.
Yep.
Cardinals at home.
I'll take that. I think they can beat the... I mean, if they're beating the Chiefs and everybody else like that, the Titans, I think they can beat the Cardinals.
Cardinals have not looked good this nope. year. I will say at home, the Texans will win.
Okay.
At Baltimore.
That's a win. Baltimore's not been, I mean, they got blown out by the Jags, didn't they?
Yeah, their defense.
Defense is good.
Is good. Joe Flacco, in his own words, said he sucks.
They've scored 60 points. That's not going to be enough.
The big key here is going to be
Flacco. And that's in 4 games. They've scored 60 points in 4 games. The Texans just put up a 57-1.
But you know what scares me?
Huh.
Boy, when Flacco goes out, that second string quarterback can play if you get him an alarm clock.
Yeah.
No,
maybe not. Oh, you wrecked me. Ryan Mallett's not going to beat him. Okay, I'll go. You convinced me. Okay, I'll take win at Ravens, at Titans.
At the Titans, I think that'll be a loss.
I agree.
Okay.
Niners at home.
That's a win.
That's a win.
Yeah.
At Jacksonville.
It's payback.
Ooh,
if they're,
this is
if
your
they're
team.
Cruising now, because what? They've lost
this
two
is your
games.
Team.
They've lost, so they're 2-2. We would have them going in at least 7-3, 7-4, something like that.
The schedule looks like a playoff higher. Team if he keeps playing the way he's playing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think they win at Jacksonville.
Okay, I'm with you because it's Blake Bortles and this team. Jacksonville is one of those teams right now. It's either going to get better or get worse. I don't think we know who they are yet is what I mean.
I forget the absolute formula like when you say when you're reading the gambling books, but they say if it's a close game or a pick'em, you look at quarterbacks, home field,
yeah,
and either
like
field
that.
Goal
yeah.
kicker or something like that. But look, and Fairbairn has been great too. Jacksonville's been a little shaky, the kicking position too. I'll take the Texans with a win at Jacksonville.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. All right, Steelers.
I think that's a loss.
That's a definite loss. Yeah,
and at the Colts to finish the season, I'll take that as another win. At that point, I think the Colts are playing for draft position.
Yeah, here's the thing, though. If the Texans have already secured a playoff spot, if they play as well as we think they could play,
it's a good point.
Then they may not have to go out there and play Deshaun Watson, and they may not have to win that game. So that could be one of those.
That Tom Savage.
That could go anywhere.
Can play.
They could
O'Brien
go anywhere.
Likes him.
But if they're fighting for a playoff spot, then I think that's a win.
Yeah.
So we basically agree that they're going to lose 3 games down the stretch for sure that we agree on.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose to the Seahawks on the road.
Mm-hmm.
We said they would lose to Tennessee on the road.
Right.
And they would lose to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them, 1 game we didn't agree on, and that was the Rams.
Rams game, yeah.
But everything else we think they win. So, there you go.
Hell of a turnaround for a season.
Boy, I tell you what.
If that happens.
Yeah.
But are we saying it's all contingent on what happens Sunday night?
Absolutely. Because that's what I'm basing it off. If they beat the Chiefs, this is a legit football team.
Do they have
year.
To beat the Chiefs, or do they just show up and play as well as they played New England or better?
Nope, they got to beat the Chiefs.
Nope. Okay.
No, they got to beat the Chiefs.
All right, we'll see what happens. That's a big one on Sunday night. As we're going to have Sarah Barshap with us at, what, 3:30?
3:30.
So she's the ESPN reporter covering your Houston Texans. 3:30, she'll be on. She gave us great information last week telling us that Will Fuller would be back.
Yeah.
So hopefully she'll have more nuggets and tidbits that'll get you guys fired up, getting ready for that big Sunday game. But we've got plenty more to go, only halfway through the show. We're going to take a quick break, come back with a whole lot more. So don't go anywhere. Jerry, thanks for hanging in there. We'll get to you next, and we'll continue to roll on right after the break, right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, 90 in the books, 90 still to go as we continue with another stellar show covering a lot of bases. as we get ready for the Astros playoffs, as well as some NFL and a whole lot of other things, including the wild card game last night. There's a wild card game again tonight. The Astros have been honored with a pep rally at City Hall today. They're encouraging everyone to wear orange for the first two home games. And Jake Kaplan, who was on the show with us earlier, has just tweeted out Mattress Mac throwing out the ceremonial first pitch tomorrow at Minute Maid Park before game one.
Can I tell you? So I do this joke in my set where I talk about our city coming together and everybody helping. And I was doing this joke in Dallas. All right. This will give you an idea of the reach of a guy like Mattress Mac. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing the joke and I basically say, you know, I was so proud to be a native Houstonian, the way our city came together after Harvey. We all pitched in. We all helped. And I, well, everyone except Joel Osteen. Bleep that guy.
Right.
And then I go off on Joel Osteen for a minute telling the joke. And then I say, we had to get saved by the mattress dude. And people went nuts. I was like, wait, you guys know who Mattress Mac is? And the whole crowd was like, yes. Dude, Mattress Mac is big time in Dallas. How cool is that? They know who that dude is all the way in Dallas.
You know, there was a time when he wanted to be the biggest furniture guy in the nation.
Oh, really?
And he was trying to do it with galleryfurniture.com.
Right.
He was trying to advertise a little bit more nationally. I think he even tried to do some sports. But, I mean, then he finally realized, look, I mean, internet for furniture, you still got to sit on it and you got to test it out. And you got to, you know, kind of not, you can't just do the eye test. You actually physically have to check out the furniture. But there's no denying how big everyone that goes to Houston is just, they know who Mattress Mac is. And if you're sitting in your hotel room or whatever on business, you turn on the TV. If you don't, you'll know real quick. Right?
I saw this this article about a guy that was, he's 101 years old. It says, 101-year-old Astros fan wants to see Houston in the World Series. I mean,
don't we all?
But didn't he already?
Oh, yeah.
2005, right?
I mean, come on, dude.
Winning is one, is totally different.
But he just says maybe wants to see him in the World Series. Well, where the hell were you?
Maybe he met in the American League, representing the American League.
I don't know. I just immediately stopped. I was like, maybe I should read the article, but I'm like, it doesn't matter. That's either a misleading headline or he's senile. Maybe he's got Alzheimer's and doesn't remember. I don't know. But they were already there. So you should have seen it. It said, he's seen 17 presidents, but he hasn't seen the Astros win a World Series. Well, but you didn't say that to begin with. You said you wanted to see them in the World Series.
Well, that's what happened to your memory at 101.
I guess.
Maybe it means him being in the stadium?
That could be, Jose. Maybe that's what it means.
It's a
maybe,
distinct possibility.
Maybe it means he wants to get tickets. Maybe he's just out there trying to scam some folks for some tickets, right? He's 101, still running a ruse, still out there shamming people for Astros World Series tickets.
At 101. He's 101 years old, and he's got the scam.
The hustle
going.
Never dies.
I guess not. It's the
That's
long
a good point.
Con. It's the long con. He's been trying to con somebody since he was 40. He's 101 now. One thing we didn't do this week, Joel, was give our folks the updated rankings for the college poll. We didn't get to that, so I just wanted to run through, see if there's any surprises for you.
You know what I'm going to ask first.
They moved up a spot to number 9.
Ooh.
Yeah, Wisconsin at 9. I mean, the big mover, I guess, up was Washington State moving up 5 spots to number 11. So good for them. USC falls 9 spots to number 14. Virginia Tech fell 4 spots to number 16. And then Notre Dame moved up a spot. Then Notre Dame's actually tied with Florida now at 21. So anything like that surprise you, any of that stuff?
I mean, nothing surprises me with the rankings anymore, the way Oklahoma State was able to move up quickly with no real validation, and then all of a sudden they proved that they're not worthy of primetime yet for a lot of people that had them penciled in as one of the final four.
Yeah.
SC has to tumble because of that loss to Washington State. But I think is it fair to say at the end of the year, do you know who your final four are, or can you see it? I mean, Clemson basically, if you look at their schedule, is really not going to face anything except for NC State the rest of the way.
Right.
Alabama, I would assume, is going to walk right in.
Alabama's toughest test is what, Auburn?
Yeah. which could be a bigger game and a tougher game than what people are expecting. But that might be one of their big tests.
They lost. Auburn lost to Clemson.
Yeah, their quarterback. So when they're playing
the upper echelon, I mean, Clemson to me, I kind of question having Bama number one. This is the one thing that drives me nuts about the college football polls. Is whoever is number one, until they lose, they remain number one, regardless of what else happens, right?
Not so, number nine.
So Bama's wins against Florida State, which ended up being not that good of a win now when you look at, but at the time, they were number three.
And
so
you, I guess and, you and get, they lost their quarterback.
You get some credit for that, but then they'd be what? Fresno, Colorado State, Vanderbilt, and Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah.
When you look at Clemson's resume since the season started, they beat Kent. Then they beat Auburn, who was 13. They beat Louisville, who was 14. Boston College and Virginia Tech. And those teams are still ranked.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn is 12. Virginia Tech is 16. What was the other one? Louisville, 17.
Right.
So all three of those wins, those teams are still good enough to hang on to the top 25.
I don't care. I mean, look, you can make Alabama number one because of past precedents and their record in the previously and their recruiting because they're deep. So,
but their one win against a one ranked opponent, that team's not even ranked anymore.
Yeah, they haven't. But in terms of just performance to this point in the year, Clemson is just dominating.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, I personally, if I was making a poll, I would have Clemson number one and Alabama number two simply for the fact of who Clemson has played and beat up to this point. Not the fact that maybe Alabama might have better personnel in a head-to-head matchup in the college national championship to who do you think would win. But to this point, to me, the better team based on body of work is Clemson. How can it not be?
Look, I totally agree. And when you look at it, like I said, I was kidding with you when you said they do that at number nine because Wisconsin just kept winning and it didn't matter. They still moved them to number 10 twice in the polls. But when you're up that high, you know, they give you a lot more leeway. And you don't think for an instant that they don't go, well, that's Alabama. So they get a pass because they've been in the national championship. But you know what? Clemson has two. So, yes, they lost Deshaun Watson, but they've proven they can still score points and move the ball on offense. But, boy, that defense, I'm telling you, that defense is for real. Is it a foregone conclusion we're heading for another collision course and it's going to be a three-peat with those two teams?
I mean, Oklahoma still has some work to do, even though that's a damn good football team as well.
And you got a veteran quarterback.
They still have to play Oak State, and Oak State is a good football team, maybe overrated, but that's also a rivalry game. And you know how teams play
and
up in a rivalry
offensive
game.
Offensive team,
and it's in it's at still they're at Oak State, yeah. Okay. So they still have to play TCU, that's a good football team, and then their last game of the year, West Virginia. Bottom top 25, but still a ranked team. So still a bit of a test. I think they'll win that game, no doubt. But I think their biggest test left is obviously the rivalry game with Oak State and TCU. But I think that those might be the three best teams. You know what I mean? But
if you're going to throw a fourth in the mix, who is it right now? I can tell you who mine is.
Who?
Penn State.
Is it?
Barkley looks ridiculous. McSorley is really good. Yeah, they had a bad game against Iowa, but overall they're catching their stride. It's going to come down to, you know, the Big Ten championship, the way they're going to determine it, but they're playing really good football right now. USC fell off. A lot of teams that were the darlings and the sexy picks early in the season, the USCs, the Oklahoma States, teams we covered, they're falling off. Even Ohio State lost early to Oklahoma. I think you're right. I think if there's the other one that I would throw in there is Oklahoma. Oklahoma or Penn State.
So that would be your top four?
Yeah, along with
Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Penn State. Yep. Here's why I wouldn't pick Penn State. And there's three teams that I think you could look at, and they happen to be, you know, 4, 5, and 6 in the mix. Because I'm with you. Oklahoma has to be included. So you got Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma. But of 4, 5, and 6, the one team that I would go with to make it would be Washington. It's a good football team, but if you look at their schedule down the stretch, they have really two really tough games left in Utah and Washington State. And Washington State is no joke.
Nope.
But I think those are both winnable games. They're both at home. So they don't have to go on the road for their rivalry game against Washington State. They don't have to go to Utah to play Utah.
Right.
So they get them at home, which is a huge advantage for them. Penn State worries me, man, because they still have to play Michigan. They still have to play Ohio State. They still have to play Michigan State. And inevitably, they'll lose one of those games, I feel like. I think it's that Big Ten play, they always end up beating up each other. It's almost like the SEC. They end up beating each other up. You know what I mean? Because they're all that good. So you're talking about three top 10 teams right there. And, you know, they're not that big of a separate. And Georgia's Georgia. They always seem to screw it up in the SEC at some point. Their big test down the stretch is Auburn. I mean, Florida's not bad, but I think Georgia's much better football team than Florida is.
Florida better figure out their quarterback.
Yeah, but so Georgia's big test is Auburn, but I still think Georgia somehow manages to screw up the SEC every year. Plus, they got to go, you know, they'll probably play Bama and lose in the SEC championship game. Washington, on the other hand, though, I think could...
Schedule's a big part of it.
Yeah. I think if I was picking right now, I would pick Washington based on that.
Fair enough. I mean, look, and like I said, schedule's a big part of it because even for Wisconsin, they're favored in every game the rest of the way. They don't play Ohio State this year.
Yeah.
So they got to beat Michigan now, who just lost their quarterback, and going to a former U of H quarterback, O'Korn, to quarterback them. That's their biggest game remaining. So schedule can play a big part of it. And Washington playing a softer schedule out there in the Pac-12, that'll be interesting to see. But at least it's heating up in college football, and we don't have these one-sided matchups that we've had for the last couple of weeks, but it should be good.
How bad are the Aggies going to get beat by Bama? 20?
I told you. I think that someone can save his whole season.
With that win?
With that win. And it's in College Station. But I would say probably by 17?
17?
Yeah.
I was going to say 20.
Okay. You say 20, I'll say 17.
Okay.
Jose, you say?
21.
Fred said he agrees with me. He's a Bama fan. He agrees with me about Clemson being number one.
Really?
And he's a Bama fan.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, get body of work. There's no denying what they've done.
I told you. Their defense, look, all they had to prove to me is they got another guy that can play quarterback, and they do. They got weapons on offense, but their defense is fantastic.
This is a badass song, by the way. Yep. Who picked this? Oh, so good.
It's staying in the rotation.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys want to let everybody else know who sings it?
Crank it up. Bill Withers.
Bill Withers, yeah. Who you might know from just the two of us.
That's right. And Mama, what is it, Mama Knows? If you're sleeping on Bill Withers, go look him up on like iTunes something. And stuff. He's got some good stuff.
It's a Way Back Wednesday in hour number two. And is this Jose's hour or yours?
This is still my hour.
Okay, still your hour. All right, so Barry's hour number two. Jose, which should be real interesting, is picking up hour number three. He'll take your suggestions between now and three before he has to have song one queued up and ready to go. But we're ready to go with much more show. Step away for a quick minute. Come back with a whole lot more right here on ESPN 97.5.
Happy birthday, ESPN 97.5. 97.5. We're 10. If you thought we were degenerates before, wait until we hit puberty.
Hold on to your butts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One of the great sample songs, but Roger Troutman and Zap. I'm not embarrassed to say I had this album.
Yeah, so did I. I love this album, and rightfully so, one of the most sampled.
Yes.
Some great beats.
And I have the Greatest Hits CD as well, but I have a lot of the Zap albums. Roger Troutman, legendary.
Yes. I got bad news. I got my water bill. While we were doing the show, I get an email. Your water bill's in.
Well, you and that
$223.
Good Lord.
That's down from last month, so I'm feeling good about myself. It's about $130 less than it was last month.
When do you get aguaogre.com?
Yeah, I need
that. I mean, that is the next progression for you.
I do need water ogre. Like,
yes.
Yeah, much like energy ogre. Yeah, you're right, dude. It's crazy. So now I'm sad for the rest of the show.
Dang.
Yeah, $223. Okay, let's talk something fun. Power rankings.
Yeah.
Dude, what do you want first? Do you want the last power rankings for baseball for the regular season, or do you want this week's NFL?
I want this week's NFL.
Okay.
Baseball is what it is.
All right. NFL Week 5 power rankings.
Number one, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Number one, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Only a one-point game
moved
against
up,
the Texans.
Yeah, moved up from number two to number one.
Yeah.
So that means the Falcons fell from number one.
Keep falling, baby.
To number three. Which makes Clarence happy.
Yep, and me.
So we know the Falcons are three. We know the Chiefs are one. I'll give you a guess at who number two is. Don't pop a chub on me.
Lambeau Field in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Your Packers are number two. All right. Broncos number four.
You know who they play this week, right?
No. Couldn't tell.
They play in your favorite city.
Oh, they play the Cowboys.
Yeah.
All right. It's on the road in Dallas?
Yeah.
Mm.
I will be too.
Are you going?
Yeah, pretty sure.
Oh, look at you. Yep. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pay attention to the roadways as you drive around. Tell me it's not cleaner.
And by the way,
did you notice weeds growing all over the place?
No. Quite the opposite. I was going to ask Nick, and of course he's not here today, but Nick and I on our way home, to get onto the feeder road, when we turn here from the station, it's normally just a bunch of brush and crap, like exactly what you were talking about. They've completely taken it all away, and they're re-landscaping the whole thing. I'm like, this is the Barry Laminack Project. It's starting in full force right here in the Galleria.
Good. We need to do that. This city, I like I said, man, I love this city, but it's dirty. I want to keep it clean. We need to clean it up. We need to take some of this tax money and beautify our city.
They may be using some spruces to spruce up
the
landscape.
Denver number four, Steelers number five in your power rankings. 6 through 10 goes Seattle, New England, who fell 3 spots. Philly, who jumped up from number 13 to number 8. Sorry, New England fell from number 3 to number 7.
When is the last time New England was in the top 5 in a power ranking?
So 6 through 10, sorry, made it confusing. Seattle, New England, Philly, Detroit, and number 10, your Houston Texans.
Hey.
Yeah, that surprised me. They jumped up from being ranked number 17 last week to number 10. Texans cracked the top 10 in the power rankings.
Simply because the defense got back to playing like they normally play. The secondary looks better with all the question marks we had early. And then all you really needed was to figure out the quarterback position. And at least, like we said, short term. Yeah,
easier said than done, though. All you needed to do was figure out the quarterback position.
As they've been trying to do it for how many years now?
Every team in the league, other than maybe 5, trying to figure out the quarterback position.
And we're not saying that it's, you know, going to be a slam dunk the rest of the way. There's going to be some rough patches. But hey, look, it's a hell of a lot better than the alternative.
I mean, in my mind, and just as a, you know, long-suffering fan, I'm imagining more Carson Wentz than Dak Prescott for a rookie season. Wentz tailed off towards the end. He started off great, had a good year, right? But I don't want to be so negative that I think Goff the first year, because he bounced back. But I want to hit somewhere in the middle. Prescott played out of his mind. Goff. Yep. Played terrible. Wentz was kind of somewhere in the middle. I think if you get that, you're happy.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think because of the fact that you know that you still haven't even scratched the surface of what you're going to get, but at least the kid has shown you a whole lot in year one that not a lot of guys can do. Dak Prescott being that exception.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. I'm surprised by Seattle being ahead of New England. Right now, if those two teams played,
I'd take New England. Yeah.
As bad as their defense is.
They looked better. The Seahawks did. But
and then they lost their starting running back. Yeah. And then,
they have the Raiders at 11. They fell from number 7 to 11. And Derek Carr being gone 2 to 6 weeks. You might see them tumble
a little bit more.
Remember
what I said early in the year?
Yeah.
About a team that was a potential.
Yeah, bust.
Yeah.
Cowboys at 12. Panthers at 13. Jump up from number 22 to number 13.
That's a big jump. Yeah.
Redskins 14. Bills stay at number 15.
Cody.
Yep.
Your Bills. I mean, look, that win last week, huge against Atlanta. Can they keep it going? Their defense, definitely much improved. That whole team rests on the shoulders of, believe it or not, the quarterback position.
Worst team, you want to meet the bottom 5 going...
Niners, Browns.
Yeah. Well, yeah, your bottom 5 would be Bears, Niners, Giants, Colts, Browns is your bottom 5.
Did you see Eli Manning say that we're still a good football team and he thinks they can get in?
I didn't see that, but he needs to quit drinking before he does press conferences.
That's awful.
He still thinks that they can get in.
Yeah.
Eli Manning still thinks that they have a chance of making the playoffs at 0-4.
Now, of course, a lot of that could be, you know, coach speak and we got to say the right thing. But in New York, you should be annihilated in the media for that.
They've scored 60
points.
Just
win a game.
Yeah, they've scored 60 points in 4 games. Stop it.
That's ridiculous.
Yep. Where's your NFL power rankings?
That sounds like a plan. We'll do that for you each and every week, both the college and the pro, just to let you know where everything sit and how they go. We've got 2 in the books, 1 to go, plenty more of the big show. So we're going to step away for a quick break, but we've got 60 minutes still on the clock. That means we've got plenty more of sports and entertainment to bring your way. Jose's doing a great job. Barry's hour is now over. Jose, if you really are doing a great job, let's see what you bring to the table in Wayback Wednesday. for the final hour of the big show, because there's no pressure on you, but there's going to be a lot of scrutiny. And if you're not on Twitter following the listeners, be prepared, because they are brutal if you are not bringing it. Just letting you know. All right, we got 1 hour left in the show. Jose's got the Way Back Wednesday hour, and we've got plenty more on the list to get to. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.